You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinaire on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I am your host, your pal. You are listening to us on the Civic Media Radio Network. Very happy to have you here on this Monday morning, weekend, week after Christmas. We hope you're relaxing. And we're happy to have you here on this live show. Two live shows this week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, pre-recorded shows. But don't worry, those are curated best ofs. They are some of our best stuff from the entire year. So we hope you stick around to listen to that. If you can't listen to the show live, you can always go to civicmedia.us/shows, download this show as a podcast. You can subscribe to it on podcast, but you can also download the show to your device, listen to it whenever, wherever you want. civicmedia.us/shows is a great way to catch up on all the programs we have here on the network. And that way, because we know you're busy, we know you're very busy. So get in touch with us how you can. You can also get in touch by calling 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also leave a comment on the live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we will always call Twitter. You can also leave a voice note on the app. You can also text and call on the app. But either way, we want you to get in touch because this next topic we're going to be discussing is very near and dear to my heart. And we brought one of the best here for it, returning to the show, friend of the show, executive director of Fair Wisconsin, Abigail Swetz. Abigail, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. Just really thankful to be able to be on and talk about this really important topic. So thank you.
Of course, of course. So basically, for those who do not know, new rules and policies about trans youth healthcare came out of the Trump administration. These rules essentially would ban care and cut Medicaid and Medicare funding for our hospitals and physicians. I don't want to go too deep into it and explain. I want you to talk to us and give us the overview on what happened in Washington last week when this announcement was made from HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., along with other folks, including Dr. Oz. Tell us more about what these proposed rules are and what they mean for us.
Thank you. Yes. So I'm going to go through what the proposed rules are, emphasis on proposed.
Yes. Yes.
But they are not, which we also need to emphasize. And then if I could have a moment to just respond, as you just pointed out, that announcement last week was something else. And I'd love to just talk about that for a second.
So, I'll put that announcement in our show notes. It's on C-SPAN. It's an hour. And I would suggest getting up every 10 minutes to take a moment for yourself and tell yourself how good you are as a person. But yeah, that announcement was hard to watch.
It was very hard to watch, especially because, you know, let's be honest, this is just one more amongst a slew of federal attacks on trans people, on trans youth, on trans Americans, and really on our empathy for each other, I would say, which I'll get to in a second. So it is incredibly important to know that these are proposed rules that are not currently in effect and are not a ban on medically necessary healthcare for trans youth, but would be very much an attack on reduction to access, right? So trans medical care would still exist even post these proposed rules being finalized, which again, they are not, but would be far more difficult to access for trans youth across the country and also in Wisconsin. So, a few things. It is critical to understand that these proposed rules are being justified by lies. I'm not going to say misinformation anymore. We're beyond disinformation at this point. We are talking about lies. They are also an attempt to hold federal funding that is essential for all medical care in this country hostage for a very disgusting political agenda that is frankly extremist, that is far beyond what Americans really want, I would say. And also they are a distraction, a very purposeful distraction, but from extremist politicians who don't want anyone to notice, that not only are our rights under attack, but our ability to, you know, pay for daily necessities, is growing harder and harder. And it is easier for extremist politicians to distract from that than, for them to take up the mantle of their actual governance and do anything about it, I would say. So a few things to add to that is because these are proposed rules, we as the public have an opportunity to really speak truth to power, to defend medically necessary, highly individualized, 100% age-appropriate healthcare for trans youth. And that means that they are open to public comment right now and will be through February 17th. We have about 60 days to make our voices heard, to make sure that people, that parents, families, all of us who love and want to defend trans youth in Wisconsin and across this country can get up and make our voices heard. And Fair Wisconsin is also working really hard to make sure that we can do that in as protected a way as possible, because public comment is public and also is directly on a federal government website. And I would point out, as I'm sure we are all very aware, that it is not a really safe time to necessarily be interacting with the federal public if you are trans or mm-hmm. if you are a family of a trans person. And so Fair Wisconsin has been working with a national coalition to really put together a plan. How can we make sure our public comment is robust and powerful and also as protected as possible? And so we are holding our first webinar about how to do public comment in a protected way tonight at 7 p.m. It's pretty easy to sign up. It's on our website. It's on all our social media. It's the most recent post. And I really encourage people to look into how can you make a difference right now for trans youth in our country? This is one of those ways. It is time for us to saddle up, get on that horse, and really, really try and make a difference. So the other thing to know mm-hmm. about what these rules are not, right? And I think it's important to remember, they are not a ban on trans healthcare. They would not make it unlawful for doctors to continue providing care in Wisconsin and all the states where it is not already banned. They would not change any kind of Supreme Court decision that has already been made. And they would not change the clinical professional standards about trans healthcare, which are deeply studied and very, very strong when it comes to evidence-based. They would make it far more difficult to access because they would address funding. They would change Medicaid coverage for trans youth. It would no longer be allowed to be covered in Medicaid. So of course, that's an attack specifically on our low-income, most vulnerable trans youth. And also, it would change what is called the conditions of participation in Medicaid and Medicare for hospitals. So hospitals who decide to continue providing gender-affirming care, medically necessary care for trans youth, would no longer be able to participate in Medicaid and Medicare, which means they would no longer get federal funding, which is why I say this is federal funding being held hostage potentially by a very extremist political agenda, because that is a choice that hospitals are just never should be in the position to have to make, right? So I'll let you ask me any more questions about that if you'd like, but yes, would also love to react to that briefing.
Well, I mean, honestly, I wrote this right down. It's held hostage. Now, on a very objective scale, the first rule, 23464, I understand why they proposed it, because they wanted to deal directly with gender dysphoria for patients under 18. But then the next proposed rule, 23465, just feels like a threat, because if you're saying the first one, I'm like, I understand but what you're saying with the second rule proposed is that, and if you don't like that, here's how we can make it even worse. And then what happens is we then weaponize Medicare and Medicaid to say, well, I'm just a regular folk, 72 years old, and I did everything I'm supposed to do. Why should I have my Medicare threatened because some kid out there, you know, such and so the mm-hmm. argument may be. So for me reading this, this isn't about protecting the kids. This is vilifying trans people and making sure that, to take it one step further, we cut funding to hospitals and physicians who might want to help those kids by, you know, taking away. So yeah, I mean, that was all in the, I have a bunch of stuff written down from that press conference, because it was a lot to take in, Abigail. And let me get your thoughts on that. And then I just want to ask you a question about dispelling myths about gender affirming care for youth, because I feel like the misinformation mm-hmm. that good hearted people have because mm-hmm. they don't understand is important to clear up, because they may support trans kids, but they may not know all the mm-hmm. facts, and they might be like, well, I heard a thing, dot, dot, dot. And therefore they start saying those things, dot, dot, dot. And it doesn't help the overall struggle. So let's start with your thoughts on the press conference from the higher ups of the HHS.
Yeah, that's actually a good 1-2 question, I would say, because the higher ups at HHS really did a lot to lean into the lies and disinformation mm-hmm. that I think everyone is being fed and really needs to be sort of cut off at the pass, if at all possible. So we'd love to talk about that. Yeah. So the briefing from HHS and Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services really relied on what I would consider pseudoscience. Mm-hmm. And I would also, I'm sure that all the incredible researchers who have done unbelievably good research, including, by the way, the Utah government did research into the efficacy of gender-affirming care for youth and found that it was very effective and should not be banned. Utah's not necessarily who you would expect to find that finding, except that they actually relied on evidence. Okay, so HHS really was relying on pseudoscience, mm-hmm. right, for these extremist proposed rules. And they were spreading disinformation and lies that is about what is in actuality incredibly well-researched evidence-based healthcare and high quality. And the part that was really difficult to listen to is that these government officials were denying the existence of trans people while also paying lip service to what they called the divine worth of children, mm-hmm. Which I agree with, but then also talking so much about the need to lead with compassion while also then asking for blessings on mm-hmm. President Trump.
Yes.
So this sort of toxic soup where they were trying to pretend that it was about upholding the beauty of children while also just trying to sort of, I don't know, bow in deference to a leader who has anything but those things was really, really difficult, right? So the way that compassion was twisted into being used as a weapon, I found so difficult to listen to. So, you know, when we're talking about something as necessary as honoring our children, mm-hmm. we have to remember that includes honoring medically necessary evidence-based healthcare.
I would go as far to say it means honoring all children, because I'm going to just let this statement stand that came from Dr. Mehmet Oz, a guy who once really wanted me to buy diet pills. President Trump has made child protection a national priority. I want that statement to just hang in the air for a moment. President Trump has made child protection a national priority. I would love more evidence on that one. But we're going to be talking more to Abigail Swetz, who is the executive director of FAIR Wisconsin. We're going to be talking about the proposed rules from the Department of Health and Human Services that came out last week on gender-affirming care for young people, for kids, and how that affects not just them, not just trans people of adult age, but all of us as Americans, period. More to come with Abigail Swetz. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. My name is Greg Bach. I'm your host, your buddy, your pal, and you are listening to us live and in charge. That doesn't rhyme at all, but you can always get in touch with us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can text us, call us, questions. We'd love to hear them. You can also leave a comment on the live stream, Facebook, YouTube, or the platform we still call Twitter. And I will say this once today: if you disrespect my guest, I will ban you, because I am not above being a petty little dictator on this show. So if you want to ask questions that may be pushing at the topic, fine, but be respectful and be at least somewhat informed on it. But that's my little diatribe right there. But we are talking to Abigail Swetz, who is the executive director of FAIR Wisconsin. And we are discussing proposed rules from the Department of HHS, from the Trump administration. It shouldn't come as a shock that is targeting our trans youth, even though, quote, President Trump has made child protection a national priority. That's a funny statement to say out loud from Dr. Oz. But we are talking to Abigail right now. And what I wanted to do, Abigail, right in this moment is there are folks out there who believe in trans youth getting what they need. they support them. We know them. We love them. There's nothing better for me than listening to an 85-year-old little white man saying, I think kids should be able to be what they want to be, and I don't think it's the government's place.
Right?
Pass me the turkey. I love that. Grandpa Bob, if you're out mm-hmm. there, we'll never forget you and your wonderful story about your lovely grandchild. Still makes me cry to this day. But my point is that those good folks sometimes have misinformation. When you come out and saying things like protecting kids from surgical and chemical castration, retribution. I want to get that correct. That I think can make people say, well, I don't know about that part. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me, Abigail, when a young person, let's say just, you know, young teen says to their parents, I feel like I'm trans. What happens then? What is the process as far as being in the doctor's office, being in a conversation with the parents, which, by the way, this discussion wildly left out the parents and made it seem like it was all kids who are making these decisions. So can you just kind of give us an insight into that conversation, into that process?
Absolutely. So gender affirming care, medical care for trans youth. It is life affirming, safe, effective, and for children, always accessed with full parental consent, right? So that is incredibly important to know. Also, it is age appropriate, which means that, like all medical care, it is different depending on what age you are, and it is different, highly individualized, like all in great medical care, depending on who you are and where you are in sort of your identity development and just your physical development, which means that before puberty, there are no medical interventions for trans youth. At that point, before puberty, the primary forms of support for trans youth are social. They are about potentially using a different name, using different pronouns, dressing in a different way, right? And this is a way that we can all support our trans youth. That's incredibly important to remember. When it comes to puberty, there are some other aspects that start getting involved depending on parental consent and patient consent and youth desire. And that has to do with potentially puberty-pausing medications. First of all, important to understand when we're talking about safe and effective, puberty-pausing medications are also used for youth who are not trans, who may potentially start puberty too early, right? And so they pause puberty for either a trans youth who's trying to really have enough time to decide on the next step and to make sure that their body is a body that matches who they feel they are and who they truly are. Or for a cisgender child who starts puberty too early, same idea, right? So we're just going to hit pause button. When a puberty pause medication is taken off, then puberty can start. And that is when, for some trans youth and their parents with their consent, decide to go on hormone therapy. And in that case, we're talking about making sure that the hormones a child is experiencing match who they are so that they can live in a body that feels like home. And I think that is something that we can all understand is a need, right? Mm-hmm. When we talk about trans youth need something, so do all youth, so do all humans and individuals. We all want to live in a body that feels like home. And I do think that's a part of an experience that many of us can identify with and sort of rhyme. I'm not trans. I have never been through this potential experience. But as someone who has definitely struggled with body image, while it's not the same, it rhymes with something I do get. And I want to make sure a trans youth can live in that body as they grow into the awesome adults that we know this state needs and we know this country needs. So that's a little bit about what gender affirming care truly is.
We do not have enough time to talk about it all. That's why I want to have you back, like, you know, tomorrow, Wednesday, come on back Saturday. We'll have a special show. But in the time we have left, really quick, what can we who support the LGBTQIA community, especially the trans Wisconsinites, what can we do in the face of these federal threats? What can we do to help?
Thank you. Yes. So it's a scary time. And right now, what I would say we need the most is solidarity mm-hmm. within the LGBTQ plus community across our entire umbrella spectrum, and also in our allies who we need to reach out to. Trans youth have been perpetually put in the position of defending their own humanity and existence in this country, specifically right now. And it is 100% time for all of us who love and care and deeply support their own understanding of themselves to step up and make our voices heard. And that is why it is so helpful that this is a public comment period, because we, the public, need to make some comments. sense.
Exactly. And that's why we will have Fair Wisconsin's information in the show notes. Abigail is going to send me that direct link so you can make your voice heard. That is what we've been talking about this entire morning, telling our leaders to actually lead. Abigail Switz is the executive director of Fair Wisconsin. As always, I wish I had more time, but we're going to have you back sooner than later. And I thank you. I hope you have a wonderful, safe, and if that's your jam, a quiet new year.
I like that.
There you go.
Yes, that is my jam.
All right. When we come back, we'll be talking to the genie of just about everything, Civic Media's very own Terry Barr, about people helping people again. It's going to be a great conversation. Don't go anywhere when we come back after the bottom of the hour news. Make sure you get some water. Stay hydrated. You are amazing. Let no one tell you differently. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned. Stay close. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Buck, and I am your host, your buddy, your pal, and you are listening to us on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can always get in touch with us. You can always be a part of the conversation. Call or text 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC is how you get in touch with us, text or call. And then also on the live stream, Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that we still call Twitter. Got a live show for you tomorrow, folks. We got one more live show this week, and then the rest of the week we are off for New Year's. We're going to be taking another break, a well-deserved break. Some would say a break that I may have been told to take because, you know, just we work a lot here at Civic Media. But we are going to be giving you some of the best moments from this year, from 2025. Some of what we would believe, Calvin, by the way. Hello. Say hello to sweet Cal B on the boards here. He is here in the studios with us today. He's feeling a little under the weather, but the man moves on. He presses forward. And how are you doing now? How are you feeling?
You know, I'm hanging in there.
It sounds like it, bud. It sounds like it. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. But I'm hoping that you're over whatever you got going on. But if you're not totally, then you get to go home for a few days and rest and relax, because we will have live show. We will have pre-recorded shows Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And we'll be back for a brand new year, 2026. Who knows what we got coming up? I'll tell you about that tomorrow, actually. We got lots of great guests coming up in the new year. But you can be a part of that. And we appreciate your time. If you ever want to, you know, catch up with the shows, go to civicmedia.us/shows. Look for Matt and Air on Air. You can download our shows, about 2 months worth. Subscribe to us as a podcast. Go to wherever you get your podcasts. It's great ways to keep up to speed, especially if you're traveling. Pop those on and listen to me and Calvin, me and Jane and Calvin, guests talking about great stuff. But really appreciate you being here. Appreciate the people on the live stream right now. And we are awaiting Terry Barr, the genie of just about everything here at Civic Media, to talk about wonderful stories that she is working on, how we can help others in need in this holiday season, those who are looking for help the most. And it's just an example of the great reporting that's done on our website, civicmedia.us/news. You can talk about, you know, the things that are going on in your community, the things that are affecting you directly. And things that really, when it comes down to it, things that we really concern ourselves with. But civicmedia.us/news is your place to find local news in your community, whether it's right here in southeastern Wisconsin, where we're broadcasting from in Radio Park. Great reporting up north, great reporting in Richland Center, in the Driftless area. But yeah, Civic Media, we're really cool. Calvin, are we cool? I think we're cool.
We certainly try our best.
As we're waiting for Terry, and we might, and depending on if she is unavailable, because it's, you know, things happen in live radio, and that's just how it works. We might just talk about these articles ourselves. And really quick, if you want to call in, let us know how your holiday was. Let us know what you were up to. Was it traveling? Was it sticking around doing nothing? Was it just quiet? I want to know from you. What was your holiday like? Did you get everything? Did you get sick? Because we got a bunch of people here at the station who are sick, and I'm trying to stay away from every single one of them because I will not be home on New Year's feeling like junk. But that's up to me to wear a mask if that's the case. But point is, I'd like to know what you are up to. If you want to call or text or drop a comment on the live stream, love to hear from you. Let's see here. Actually, let's do this really quick. In the text messages,
Let's go over some of these really quick because I just saw these now. There's always stuff happening. So this morning earlier, we talked about the possibility of the Democrats winning all three, basically chambers, the governors, the assembly, and the Senate. And they also right now it's a liberally controlled state Supreme Court. And Tom from Hartford, listening on WXEO, says on the text line, a major problem is when the Democrats have all three branches of power, they don't use it the way they should right the wrongs of previous administrations. Instead, they waste the opportunities by compromising, unlike the previous administration, which almost never compromised. I understand that sentiment, Tom, completely. He also goes on to say, and this is just a personal note for me. Hi, Greg. Good to hear you on the air this morning. And I'm happy to have you texting in, Tom. I don't disagree with that sentiment. I understand what you're saying. I think for me, while I want the powers that be to work in a, not fair, but I want them to work together. I think we all do. I want Republicans to work with Democrats. I just feel, I see what you're saying, Tom, and that is in the past 15 years, we have seen the GOP not do that, have not on all counts. They have kept progress from happening here in the state, whether we're talking about education funding, whether we're talking about using a $4.2 billion surplus, whether we're talking about early childhood education. I mean, I understand, Tom, completely where you're coming from. I'm hoping that the Democrats, if they win a sizable majority and they have some legislative power and more an ability to negotiate at the table, as state minority leader Senator Dianne Hesselbein said, that we can move forward. I'm going to keep saying that, moving forward together. I hope they don't waste opportunities by being afraid of passing maybe some sweeping changes that will help. I mean, one of the big things I think a lot of people talk about now is in the state of Wisconsin is, will we finally legalize marijuana? The president of the United States just declassified it, or reclassified it, I should say, from no longer a Schedule 1 narcotic to a Schedule 3, I believe. And so does that mean we walk towards that, which for me as a non-user, I know if you're watching the live stream, you're like, really? You're a non-user, buddy? I'm not. But I know people who are. I know people who have businesses that run on this industry. I know the fact that this generates so much money in Colorado that they actually send money back to the people as a refund, because that's how much money they make. They fund roads projects. They fund education. They fund all sorts of things. And that, I think, just from that alone, I feel like if the Democrats can move forward and legalize marijuana, and it will show that we can create even a bigger surplus and we can use it to fund great things, our environment, our kids, I think that's worthy of discussion. And Tom, I echo your fear that it might not happen, because there is track records of Democrats not being bold enough. Let's say that. Bold enough. Sorry, Democrats. Sorry, liberals. Sorry, progressives. Sorry, leftists. But that's just part of the history. We look at the 2010 federal makeup, supermajority, and the healthcare passage we got was to no one's liking. So I'll just let that stand as a statement. John on the live stream says, I agree with Tom. This version of the GOP is childless and unwilling to work for the common good. The Dems need to take advantage if the majority is gained to make changes for the people. Understood. Again, that is Tom's point. I understand that point. Something we've discussed on this show before is the fact that when one party gets a lot of power, that might be they're wanting to take too much power. But again, that's all speculation, and I don't want to put that on people who haven't won anything yet. But that is absolutely a concern, and I hope that you stay vigilant in 2026, knowing who your lawmakers are, what they stand for, and who is running for the offices that you may feel need new leadership. So it's going to be a big year. We're going to be talking about the election a lot here on Civic Media. We're going to be talking to people running for office. We're going to be talking to people who are professional commentators. We're talking about polling and making sure you understand what's important, and make sure you understand that what is the noise and how you can really affect this process. And that is standing up voting, making your voice heard is still able to be heard in this country. We still have a process. MyVote.wi.gov is a place you can go to find out more about who represents you. But yeah, John goes on to say on the live stream, but there are studies on the real financial cost as well as the societal cost of legalizing marijuana. The argument of it not being as bad as alcohol is not a convincing argument, in my opinion. I don't disagree with that. And I'll take you back to an example that when the president signed a piece of legislation that criminalized hemp derived products, which will not take place until next year, will not take effect until next year. There was an attempt to codify that language for Wisconsin. And one of the chief reasons that was used to justify it is that we're protecting the kids. I'm here to tell you, I don't know, Calvin, if you know, this is a big shock. I am all for protecting the kids. Kids are great. But when we use that as a reason not to legalize marijuana or to illegalize hemp-derived products, which are making money as businesses, people employed, people using it for medical reasons and other reasons, that is a very flimsy excuse in my opinion, because then we need to have a real conversation about how are we protecting kids from cigarettes, from alcohol, from, you know, driving is a dangerous thing to do. So how are we, if we're going to protect the kids on this, we got to protect the kids on all things. It can't just be a, you know, one line item versus the other. But I understand what you're saying, John. I think that, you know, when we look at from the societal point of view, there is a lot of studies that show that this is not a drug that should be in the same classification as heroin. And also the economic side, that it does create a revenue base for the state. And we could definitely use that, even though we have $4.2 billion. Still waiting on Terry Barr. I don't know if that's going to happen today. If not, we will make it work because we love talking to Terry all the time. She is, as we said, the genie of just about everything. Going back to the text line, Susan from Kenosha listening on WAUK. Kenosha's my neck of the woods. I hope I see you at the market one day, Susan. You never know. But she says, great program. I support you. Children should be allowed to be the best they can. We need to help them achieve the best. And we need to achieve that best. Speaking, I'm sure, in reference to our discussion with Abigail Swetz, who is the executive director of Fair Wisconsin, talking about the proposed rules from the HHS that we talked about in the previous half hour. Coming from the Trump administration, which, by the way, as a reminder, this is proposed. This is not law. There is public comments available, and I will put in the show notes a place in there that you can make your voice heard if you want to protect these young people, because that is what we want to do. We want to protect these young people. And you can go back and listen to that entire conversation. We're going to have Abigail back, because when it comes to this topic, as well as everything that really affects the queer community, I think that's something that she will speak honestly and openly about, and I love having those discussions with her. Alice on the text line right now, listening in Cudahy on WAUK. I'm old enough to remember when we passed legislation regarding gambling, and that was supposed to cure and support all of the ills in society, but you know, we're still using that money in God knows what capacity. Education still suffers, so you know when you're... Say you're going to legalize marijuana and use the money for non-nefarious and positive societal purposes. I have no idea what that means. You're going I read that incorrectly. So yeah, basically, when you're saying that one thing and doing another, it makes no sense. So like, I guess you just look at every state around us, Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, Michigan, how they're using their medically legal marijuana here and their recreational marijuana. But yeah, I mean, we're gonna keep on that conversation, especially in 2026. But you can learn more. You can always go back and listen to shows. And we are gonna come back. You know what we're gonna do? We're gonna do a shotgun style, off the cuff, this shouldn't be a thing, I don't know edition, because we're prepared. That's right. On Matt and Aaron Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned, stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I am your host. I am your buddy. I am your friend. You are listening to us on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can always get in touch with us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that we still call Twitter. I want to thank everybody for getting in touch with me during the last period, last segment, talking about, you know, their thoughts on the show so far, the things we've been talking about, because they're important to us. And it's a way you can always stay a part of the conversation. You are why we do what we do. And without you, there is no us. So I thank you very much for getting in contact with us and being a part of that discussion this morning. Lots of great programming ahead of you. We got, after us, we got the top of the hour news. After Matt and Aaron here, we got top of the hour news. Then it's Tom Hartman. Then it's John and Gordy for you from 2 to 5. And then Nightlight with Pete Schwabba from 5 to 8. And then great programming after that. It all keeps going here on Civic Media. We love having you here. We love having you around. So don't tune out. Stay close. Stay tuned in. We love having you around. And then tomorrow, we have one more live show for you. And then we're going to be taking ourselves a 3-day break for the New Year's. But don't you worry, because Kelvin was like, Greg, I'm worried. What are we going to do for those 3 days? I said, hey, do you have any ideas? And he said, why don't we play our favorite moments, our favorite shows from 2025. I said, capital idea, young man. So that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be playing for you our picks, our curated best ofs, of what we think are some of the best moments of the show, our interviews, our tisbats, our audio sorbets. It's going to be all there for you, pre-recorded, but available from 9 to 11 on Wednesday, on Thursday, and on Friday. So we keep that programming going. And then on Monday, we're back on the 5th of January with more show for you, more great discussions, more great discussions. Is that English, Kelvin? Did that make sense to you? More great discussions. How about that? Does that make sense, Kelvin?
It makes sense to me, Greg.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate you. Yeah, it's going to be absolutely wonderful. But tomorrow, it's going to be a really fun show. We're going to be talking to a gentleman named Zach Callenborn, who is a war scholar, an analyst, and he'll be stopping by. I'm looking forward to this one, Calvin. So Tucker is our senior producer, and he puts together a lot of these guests for us. And I'm looking forward to this because really when it comes down to it, I'd love to hear his opinion. I mean, we've never had a war scholar and analyst, I feel like we haven't really had on this show. So I'm looking forward to that discussion. And he will be here at 9:35 to basically talk about modern warfare and things of that nature here in the United States of America and how we can be aware, for lack of a better term. But we will then be going over basically the ideas. We'll be talking about what we're doing for New Year's. His name is Zachary Callenborn, and he's an expert and analyst in modern warfare. And we're going to hear his thoughts on the state of drones, especially AI, war machines, and how we can avoid an apocalyptic future. That was just sent to me. That's going to be an amazing conversation. So that's tomorrow on Tuesday at 9:35. But right now, because we had to work on the fly, Calvin, it's 10:56. All of a sudden, now it's time for another edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever a thing that should not be, send it in to Calvin and me. The number, or the email still works. It's janesays@civicmedia.us. janesays@civicmedia.us is how you get in touch with us. If you want to send us a guest, an idea, or a tisbat suggestion, and we'd love to hear from you. And thank you very much for being a part of our day. And today it is the You Dirty Rat edition. This comes from The Independent, which means that's fancy reporting. Amelia Neath has the byline. This came out last week. And a flight unable to make final stop after stowaway rat leaves passengers squirming. This is passengers were left squirming after a rat was seen scurrying around the cabin of a KLM flight to the Caribbean. The unexpected stowaway was spotted crawling across the top of a curtain and jumped into the overhead bins of a storage unit. And there's a video component. It shows that it was taken to the cabin. The rodent can see running across the rails. And they were scheduled to fly from Amsterdam in the Netherlands to Aruba before continuing to the island of Bonaire on the 10th of December. But this all had to be scrapped when they found it. They had to cancel the flight and basically do a full-blown cleaning. They canceled the flight to Aruba via Bonaire, and they said the aircraft to be thoroughly cleaned before putting it back into service. And look, I know there's rules and laws and the rat, and it's, you know, people... I'm just like, hey, man, I'm going on vacation. If it doesn't get in my hair, I'm fine. Would you, Calvin, need the whole thing to be scrapped? The whole thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. How long is the flight? I would be concerned about more than just the one rat.
Then you send that people. Send people to.
Isn't the usual, like, if someone tells you that they saw a mouse in their house, mm-hmm. they probably don't have one mouse in their house. They probably have an infestation because mice don't like to be seen.
Oh, wow. We just ran into Calvin Butenov, the mouse expert here. Okay. I mean, I understand that. And I guess it's just for me, I'm like, oh, I got to go all the way back and start all the way over. And I know I'm not going to get a refund. I know I'm not. So now my vacation starts late. And maybe the rat just wanted to relax. Okay. I'm thinking about the rat too. I'm sorry. I know that's not something we think about in 2025, but that's how compassionate I am towards our rat brethren and sisterins. So that's just a very quick, this shouldn't be a thing for you, but you know, hey, let me know your thoughts. Should we just like all hang out together or do we scrap the whole thing and go back home and try again? But that's been another edition of.
Oh, there this we go. Shouldn't be a thing.
Thank you, Calvin. Thank you, Tucker. Thank you, traffic. Thank you, engineers. Without you, I'm talking into a microphone that does not work. So I thank you for all of your help. Listeners, viewers, callers, texters, everybody, even the ones who are a little disrespectful. Thank you for your time. Without you, there's no us. Don't go anywhere. Great stuff coming ahead. Tom Hartman at 11. And then we got ourselves some John and Gordy. Nightlight. The programming does not stop here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I've been your host, Greg Bach, on Matinee on Air. You are amazing. Let no one tell you differently. Stay tuned. Stay close. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.